tell me a little bit of the study, Doctor, and how you started it.
Well, it really goes back about 10 years. My research group at University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas has been studying this much bigger problem about Gulf War syndrome. That is, we sent 700,000 troops to the first Gulf War in 1990-91.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, about 100,000 came back immediately with a mysterious illness, with difficulty thinking and concentrating, body pain, chronic diarrhea, dizziness, and so forth, that has really incapacitated some of those for about 10 years. And 100,000 had that illness. We have since traced that to a brain cell injury to certain deep brain structures called basal ganglia and brainstem from exposure to low-level sarin nerve gas. Almost everybody was exposed to low-level sarin in the first Gulf War. And what we found is those that had a genetic weakness against nerve gas, that is, there's an enzyme in your blood called paraoxonase,
mm-hmm.
And if you were born with low levels of that, when the nerve gas cloud came over, the low-level nerve gas, it wasn't enough to kill anybody, but if you had this weakness, it went through the blood and got into the brain and has produced this Gulf War syndrome. Now, that's a very common problem that occurred after the Gulf War. And now what we're seeing is a small increase in, actually a very large increase in a very rare condition called ALS. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, this is a condition that's much more serious, where it begins with weakness in a leg or an arm, or difficulty swallowing or talking, and then it with also twitching in the muscles. But it's a very rapidly progressing disease that leads to paralysis of basically all the muscles in the body over a 2 to 3 4 year period.
I see.
And used most of the people who have this die of it within 5 years. Now, this is a very rare disease that generally strikes people in the 60s and 70s. So it's a disease of the elderly. But what we're seeing now is about a threefold increase in this disease in young Gulf War veterans, some in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. So we think some exposure that occurred in the Gulf War sped this process up, or accelerated this process by about 30 years in people who were genetically predisposed to it.
Hmm. Okay, so you are saying of the 100,000 troops that might have been exposed to sarin gas, those are the ones, a percent of those are coming down with ALS.
Yeah, actually, a recent study published by the General Accounting Office, you know, the research arm of Congress,
right?
They recently published a study back in just June of this year in which they re-examined all the evidence that had been amassed about exposures to sarin nerve gas in the first Gulf War. They've concluded now that it's likely that almost everybody, all 700,000 troops that were there, were exposed to one degree or another to low-level sarin nerve gas when we bombed the chemical stores early in the air war,
mm-hmm.
and also blew up ammunition dumps. You may recall the Camisea ammunition dump and several others after the war. And this was liberated into the air, and the cloud wafted down over our troops, and chemical alarms started going off everywhere, and basically everybody was exposed. But it was low level, and back then it was thought scientifically, this was the best scientific knowledge, was that if nerve gas didn't kill you, then it really didn't hurt you. That is, you would get over it and it didn't have any long-lasting consequences, although, of course, if you got enough of it, it would kill you. But if you got over it, you would be fine. We now know from very extensive animal studies at the Loveless Research Lab in New Mexico, several Defense Department studies now and others have shown that even low-level sarin in people who are genetically predisposed to it can get to the brain and cause brain cell damage that is long-lasting, maybe permanent.